I just want to reflect on how the centre has shifted in politics. You know, when Zoran Mamdani was campaigning in New York for mayor, he proudly called himself a democratic socialist. Anthony Albanese used that term in his maiden speech to Parliament. Is that a title you think he would proudly own now?
I don't think he would say it up front. I mean, it's written in the party's constitution. If you think about the labels that he has kind of proudly attached to himself, he's talked about himself being not a revolutionary but a reformer. He's talked about being mainstream. And I don't think it's a title that he would want to go out there and openly attach to himself. And I don't think it's a title that the modern left, the majority of the modern left, would do so either. And it goes to, you know, what is the value of this party? What are they there to do? What is the scale of their ambition? If we see them as having kind of adjusted the way they view themselves, we have to apply that to when we think about how far they're going to go on certain things. So I think it's a really interesting debate.
Let's return to that question around restlessness that is building within the party. Tell me more about that. Where do people want Labor to be more ambitious to accelerate its reform?
So I asked this question. I spoke to more than 20 people right across the spectrum of the party, from cabinet ministers to backbenchers to party strategists. And in all of those conversations, I put to these people kind of, where do you think the party should go? What should come next? And I think the thing that came up the most was tax reform, which I thought was quite interesting.
Why?
Typically, when you think about tax reform, perhaps we think about the other side of politics wanting to lower taxes. But it came up in the context of the government has done some things on tax. They obviously rejigged the stage 3 tax cuts. There was small top-up tax cuts in the last budget. But I think there is real appetite to take a step back and look at the system and the way that the tax revenue or the tax system, working people carry a huge burden of the overall tax take in this country. And there is a sense, certainly among lots of MPs, that I think, one said to me, a really big left-wing reform would be to really significantly change the tax system to be able to return more money to the pockets of working people. That was something that was really came up quite a few times. But also in the broader context of tax reform, and you mentioned this earlier, things like taxing the multinational gas companies has been a campaign that we've seen gather momentum. The government is not going to act in this budget, but there is a sense internally that it's something that they will have to move on eventually.
And Albanese suggested that was being driven by populists.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at the people that are part of that campaign. I suspect that comment was directed at David Pocock, at Conrad Benjamin, the social media commentator, Punters Politics, and the Australia Institute. But the ACTU, which is the peak body for unions, and there is are big supporters of that campaign. So I don't think the argument suggesting that advocates for increasing taxes on gas companies are entirely populist, and I don't suspect that line is going to be able to be continued in the long term.
Speaking of populists, Dan, I wonder, given the surge of One Nation in the polls and the brewing social discontent and financial hardship that so many communities are facing, do you think that will inspire or empower Labor to lean into reform?
I think we're going to see an example of that in next Tuesday's budget, with changes that we're all expecting on negative gearing and the capital gains tax. I think whether the Prime Minister says this explicitly or not, part of it is about addressing or holding back the surge of right-wing populism. And I think I've made this observation before, that I think there is a realisation that what is driving a lot of this support away from the major parties is this sense that the system is broken, the economy doesn't work for me. There's a whole series of examples, whether it's, housing's perhaps the most pressing one, where it just doesn't work. And I think there is a view within the government that they can achieve a kind of dual outcome here if they address these issues in housing, whether it's through negative gearing and so on, that that can address one of the root causes of why people are losing faith and trust in the major parties. And it goes to one of the observations that a senior minister made to me, that at the moment, Labor's biggest opponent isn't the coalition under Angus Taylor. It isn't Pauline Hanson. It's not the Greens or the Teals. It's this sense in the community of pessimism and cynicism about what governments are capable of doing, and what the government sees its role doing, and I suspect negative gearing and capital gains tax changes fits into that, is being able to demonstrate to people that government can work and that there is the possibility that things can work. And what that's about is regaining trust in the electorate, and they see that as a way of rebuilding this social compact and hopefully, for their sake, rebuilding their primary vote support in the electorate.
Mm, and the government is putting together that budget at a really difficult time. Dan, thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure, Noor. Thanks for having me.
That was Dan Jervis-Bardi, Chief Political Correspondent for The Guardian in Canberra. You can read his two-part series on theguardian.com, and we've linked to it on the full story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Krishna Luthria. Sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you get your podcasts. Please also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.